Okay, with that said, let me go to my special guest this morning who is on the line with us from Southwest Pennsylvania. Dan Corner is my guest. He is an ordained minister, pastor for a number of years, director of evangelical outreach. Corner calls himself a contender for the Christian faith. Dan Corner, thank you for being with us on our program.
Well, thank you, Charles. It's good to be with you.
It's very good to have you on the show. And to get us going bright and early in the morning on who's going to heaven and who's going to hell.
Yes.
So where are you going, Dan?
Well, because Jesus is my life and I'm following him, and that's what you have to do to be a sheep so you won't get plucked out of his hand. I'm going to heaven because my eyes are on him and I'm staying with him. I'm not going to disown him, because if I disown him, he'll disown me, according to Matthew chapter 10, verse 33. You have to endure to the end to be saved. I'm staying with the Lord Jesus. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God has not life.
So, Dan, tell me, what happens if you falter at the age of 60 or 65 or something, and maybe you discover the delights of some other philosophy? Will you be perpetually damned and burned forever in the fires of hell? Is that what God has in mind for you?
Well, the Bible teaches that you can come back. It says that three different times in the Lord's teaching of what we call the prodigal, as well as James chapter 5, 19 and 20, as well as Romans chapter 11, 19 through 22. You can see that it is possible to lose your salvation temporarily and then come back. And we see that in the Bible where people have done that. King David is a prime example. There are others. Peter as well. Peter disowned Jesus, and we know that because he disowned Jesus, Jesus was not a liar. Therefore, Jesus disowned him. You can't be part of his body if Jesus disowned you. And Peter came back. He was converted according to Luke chapter 22. That's after his initial conversion. He came back and strengthened the brethren. So we could see that this can happen. And you know, Charles, you really shouldn't make light of what the Bible teaches, because there are a whole lot of people out there in sin. They're in sexual sin. They're drunkards. They're liars and thieves. And these people actually think they're Christians because at one point in time in the past, they were born again.
Well, I know there are a lot of people that believe they are Christians, even though they love war. They're major warmongers. They love killing. They love death. And they believe they're Christians as well, and it seems a little peculiar to me.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of problems. There's no question about it. But my issue this morning certainly is with the eternal security teachers. They have changed grace into a license for immorality. And because people think they are actually in grace, when they're not in grace, they're in something other than grace, even though they call it grace. They're really not on the road to heaven at all.
Well,
they need to repent,
helpful,
not for reward's sake, but repent right. For salvation's sake.
Maybe it would be helpful, Dan, instead of speaking in the language of members of your faith, if you would just speak in a general language so the rest of the people listening will understand. Because a lot of people don't know what these doctrines are, and you flip them off, you know, like, you know, everybody's a member of the club and not everybody is. So what I gather you're saying is that there are a whole lot of Christians who believe that they've been saved and they're going to go to heaven, and you're here to tell them that that's not so.
That's exactly right. They might have truly been saved. Some certainly have. Other ones have not been truly saved. But I'm talking about, in particularly, the ones that have been truly born again. They have repented of their sins. That is, they turned away from wickedness. They put a faith in Jesus where they were committed to him. They were following him faithfully for a time period. And then something happened. Maybe perhaps like what happened with King David when David turned to adultery and murder. And the Bible says that if a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, he will die for it. David died for it spiritually. He didn't die physically for what he did. So we know that this thing happens. It says that repeatedly in the New Testament as well. And these people that have been born again in the past, they're being reassured by the false teaching. I call it a heresy. I believe it is a heresy. The heresy of eternal security, that because they once had their moment of regeneration, they were once born again, that they're on the road to heaven. They cannot get off the road to heaven, even if they would turn to blatant wickedness, adultery, whatever it is, drunkenness. It doesn't make a bit of difference. Even if they die a drunkard or an adulterer, they think they're still going to go to heaven because they were once born again. That is not the message of the Bible. That is not grace. And there's going to be a very big-time rude awakening for a lot of people. Many people will go to hell over this doctrine. They think they have security in sin when they don't have security in sin at all, according to the Scriptures.
Okay, so what I'm understanding is that that whether somebody, in your view, goes to heaven or goes to hell depends on exactly where they are, what they think at the moment the clock strikes its final strike for them.
Right. It's their
kind of
final...
kind of a lottery deal.
It's their final spiritual condition that really makes a difference. We would all be happy that it's like that. For example, the dying thief. When the Lord Jesus was dying on a cross for a redemption, one of the two thieves went ahead and repented, got forgiven. Jesus said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." We all rejoice that it was where he was at the end of his life. Spiritually, he was able to enter the kingdom of God because right at the end, he turned away from wickedness and he turned to God, got forgiven.
Right.
But on the other hand...
Wait a minute. Let me follow that up. So if somebody strays from the true way and they have within them the potential to find their course again and to repent, but the life's lottery gets them in a T-boned in a busy intersection, then that's it for them, man. They're going to hell. No, come on. Don't beat around the bush. You're telling me that's it. It's kind of a lottery deal.
No. You have twisted what I said, Charles. Let me repeat this again. Now listen. Listen carefully.
All right.
Okay. If a person is truly born again, he's righteous in God's eyes. If that person gets tempted by the devil like David did or like Peter was, we find out then, because they turn to wickedness, they die spiritually. They have to repent for salvation's sake. Now, is that clear?
No, it's not clear.
Why?
Answer my question. So David falls off the path, and he sins, and he gets T-boned in an automobile accident. He's a goner. That's it. That's eternal damnation for your friend David.
Well, no adulterer will inherit the kingdom. He was not only an adulterer; he was a murderer. So we know that he, at that particular point in time, had he died physically, he would have went to eternal fire, yes.
So eternal fire, it just depends on when your number's up.
No, eternal fire depends where your heart is when you die physically. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 8, he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, they'll see God." If your heart is not pure when you die physically, you won't see God, you'll go to eternal fire.
You might have even strayed, but even if you haven't, a lot of people have. And so if life's lottery or the cut of your fate ends your life at that moment, that's it.
That's what the message of the Bible is. You see,
you're going to burn in misery, suffering, pain, and damnation for eternity.
Well, you see, the difference between you and I, Charles, apparently, is I'm willing to look at the Bible and believe whatever the Bible says. There's nothing I can do to change that message. And what that message teaches is we have to endure to the end to be saved.
I understand that. I know you get it all from Scripture. But I just want you to tell me, as one human being to another, I just want you to tell me, what does this say? What does this say about the nature of God who is willing to do this? Because I find this incomprehensible.
That what
the nature of God, the creative force of the entire cosmos, who set the stars in the firmament, is willing to damn these little flesh and blood puny little creatures to eternity because their number came up before they repented.
Well, what we have here is the nature of God is shown in the Bible to be one in which he allows man to have free will. That's free will at the very beginning and free will along the way. And if the devil can tempt us and lure us astray, which obviously he is trying to do, he doesn't believe in eternal security. That's why he works on Christians. Peter says he's trying to devour us, so we have to be alert and self-controlled, stand firm in the faith as we resist the devil and know our brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. But it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes he is successful, sad to say. Some Christians, real Christians, genuine Christians, do get lured astray. And as a consequence, the Bible says, if a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, he will die for it. The same thing that God told Adam back in Genesis chapter 2. And that's what happened over one sin, may I add, one sin.
I understand that's what you believe.
No, that's what the Bible says. Now, Charles, do you believe what the Bible says?
You wait a minute. I understand that's what you believe. That's what you believe, but I don't believe that. How do you like that?
Do you believe the Bible?
I don't believe what you say the Bible says.
But do you believe the Bible's final authority?
Do I believe the world? No, I don't.
You don't believe the Bible's final authority? Okay, so what we have obviously a problem, and that problem is you're not even aware that the Bible is the Word of God.
Well, I want you to wait a minute, because I want you to tell me what you have forced me to conclude, and I come to this very reluctantly. But you have forced me, look, I have children. I love my children. My children make mistakes, they do things wrong, like all children, like all human beings. But there is not one of them that I would damn to an eternity of fire, pain, and suffering. Not one of them. So you have just described to me a situation that forces me to conclude the blasphemous thought that I am the moral superior of God the Creator.
All right, a couple of things. You said you wouldn't damn one of them. The Bible tells us that God's ways and His thoughts are higher than ours, and they're different from ours, according to Isaiah chapter 55. Yeah, so when we go to the Bible, we can find out that definitely a righteous person, a person who has been biblically born again, can turn away and still end up in hell. Judas is a prime example. Judas was a man that was a disciple. He held the highest office in the church. He was promised a throne in heaven. And we know very clearly, according to Mark 14:21 and John chapter 17, verse 12, that Judas ended up in hell.
Yeah, well, I'm saying that if your description of God is correct, then I am His moral superior.
What you need to do is just change your theology and believe what the Bible says. The Bible is final authority. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His words will never pass away. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, we find out the written word of God is final authority. It's given for correction, doctrine, training, and righteousness, and reproof, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And if you don't think the Bible is good enough, that we need more, something beyond the written word of God, then you must not be a child of God. You're looking at the scriptures much lower than you should be looking at it. This is what the Christians went by. They taught by the word. Paul told Timothy to preach the word, that is, preach the scriptures, the message of the Bible. And if people would do that today, there would be a whole lot less people immoral. There would be a whole lot more people fearing God, knowing that they can yet go to hell. Even a person that has been genuinely born again can still turn away, get back on the road to hell, and end up with the devil forever in a place of fiery torment, according to Scripture.
If you had to guess, just a rough rule of thumb, how many people are in eternal torment?
Of course, there's no way for me to know, but Jesus said the majority would go there. Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, he says, enter through the narrow gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through that gate. Straight and narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. Only few shall find it. So few and many are contrasted, few being the minority, the ones that will enter God's paradise kingdom, many being the majority that will end up in fire.
Speak to me as a human being. All you will do is, you know, few and many, few and many. So you're telling me most people are in eternal damnation, right?
That's
roughly what you're telling me. Most people are in eternal damnation.
That's what the ultimate authority, the Lord Jesus, said. So that's what I believe. I'm a Christian.